Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Maz Gibrani, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit with Dave Damashek. And now, as a connoisseur, I nixed Lynch's lame 420 joke. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We rely on you. And we rely on you for just spreading the good news. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Freezing Glacia.
Dave Damashek back. Everyone loves Dave Damashek.
Freezing Glacia.
It's 420, y'all.
Extra freezing Glacia.
Sorry, Maz Gibrani's going to be on the show later. Comedian Maz.
Freezing Glacia!
Oh, yeah. All right. We can talk about pot. We can talk about my buddy Ray. Maybe Damashek brought the blaster.
I think it's also Hitler's birthday.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I was talking to Dr. Bruce of...
I'm sorry.
About something that I found interesting, which is adolescent oppositional defiant disorder. And I started thinking about...
Is that just like when a kid discovers the word no? Or is this more later on in their
youth? It's like the... Well, I'll put it to you this way. Sonny doesn't have it. Sonny's sort of... He's yes and all the way. He graduated the Groundlings in the second grade. And whatever you tell him... You know, if you tell him, hey, Sonny, I came home the other day and your door was open to your bedroom. You know, Philly cheesesteak could get in there and chew up some of your stuffies. You leave that door open. He goes, oh, sorry. Won't happen again. Now, if you do that with Natalia, she'll go, I wasn't the last person in my room. Mommy went in there to get her brush back. And I'll go, all right, but still, when you leave the house, you got to shut the door. You got to ask mommy about it. And that's, you end up going in circles. And
that's if she wants to engage you in conversation. Otherwise, what of it, old man?
Oh, yeah, and ultimately, the door never gets shut. And the dog goes up and chews up the slippers. And the stuff you want, like the stuff you don't want to happen, actually happens because you're burning calories, arguing away why, there's a cure to this disease, but you won't stop arguing with the doctor and you never get the injection and never get cured. You're constantly arguing, which is... not good for you, but somehow you get to walk around with your head held high because you won some sort of battle about who left the door open, even though it's your room, it's your dog, and it's your slipper that he's going to be shitting out in the backyard in an hour and a half from now. It's a weird thing, but we all know people who have that disorder,
who
right?
Who claim that as a win.
It's not even they don't even know what they're doing.
This must be a wiring thing, right? Because Sonny just doesn't have it, and Talia just magically has it.
This right
is just
and now, we right know is. Adults that have that.
Of course, it's about winning.
Unwired.
Right. It's about the victory in the conversation.
It's also about every single exchange is why are you hassling me?
Yeah.
Even though if the hassle is you left your cell phone on the roof of your car, it's in the parking lot. Like oh. And if you say, hey, I've noticed you've done that a few times this month. You should keep track of that. They go, I never do that. And by the way, I saw your car once, and there was a travel mug sitting on it. And you went, yeah, I was putting something.
So who are you to judge? Who are you to point
in my
fingers?
Car, and
who
I said to my,
you?
Climb on down off your high horse.
So we all know, well, first off, most children do that.
Right.
That's how you're born.
Sure.
You're born to say that, hey, this was left out or that was left out, and then you pin it on somebody else,
Plan
or you
D.
explain why you didn't do it. For some reason, Sonny doesn't have that gear, which is good. It's a direct path to success. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about my buddy Ray. And I was thinking about how powerful the disorder is and how deep in life you can go with the disorder and how little it serves the keeper of the disorder. It really doesn't serve them at all. Like this notion.
It feels good at the moment.
I'm sort of even arguing it doesn't feel good in the moment.
No, because they feel under attack for some reason.
Right, right.
Yes, it never seems to. It's not like they're having fun with this exchange. They feel attacked by this exchange, and the exchange is something that 9 times out of 10 is there to benefit them.
Right.
And they feel like they're under attack because of this exchange. It does not serve you well, and it's not even like booze, where it's like, hey, this isn't good for your health or your career, but yeah, it's pretty fun on a Saturday night. Yeah, a couple of margaritas on a Saturday night, pretty good time. This ain't even that. This is virgin daiquiris on a Tuesday morning. Like, this isn't good or fun at all. That is interesting, but I was sort of thinking
about it. So Bruce was explaining there's a disorder for the diagnosable?
Well, the reason... Yes, he was. And here's the reason I describe it as a disorder. And I have people all over my life with this disorder.
We all do.
But it's more noticeable when, as discussed off the air, you get in the position of power. Because when you get in the... See, when everyone's making $35,000 a year and working as a greeter at the Walmart, you don't notice it. But then when somebody escapes the gravity of that horrible neighborhood you grew up in and gets up to these lofty heights, he then says to old friend Loser, hey, let me tell you a few things about how to do this. And that guy goes, go fuck yourself. That's the part where now it becomes apparent. If it's still me and Ray just wandering around a construction site with a shovel in our hands, I probably wouldn't say anything to him.
Hey, Rockefeller, why don't you fix yourself first, right?
Right.
That is what Ray would be entitled to say.
The thing that I found interesting about this is all the people I've tried to bring up with me who want no part of it.
Not interested.
And so, I've been really thinking about this. Now, you should think about who you know who's this way, or if it's yourself... To some degree, it's not black and white. Everybody has a little bit of, hey, who left the door unlocked? I didn't leave the door. That's sort of like knee jerk, or when somebody points at you and go, I came home and the front door was wide open, and you go, I didn't leave the house last. And you have a little. Everyone has that, and it's fine to have that if in fact there's a story like, I left the house and you were still home and blah, blah, blah. Or it was a windy day and it didn't latch, or I was holding a bunch of groceries or something. But to be so everyone has, there's a healthy sort of I'm walking around with 10%, but Ray's at 103%. And
it's making up for everyone who's at a deficit.
And I'll tell you the story and I'll give you a very perfect example. I have said to everybody around me for as long as I could say it, when I was young, when I was coming up, when I was in my 20s, I was going to groundlings classes. I've been over at the other warehouse sorting through papers and stuff, and I found a Two Roads Players playbill.
What's that?
That was before Acme was called the... It was called the Zero Family, and then it was called the Two Roads Players because we're at the Two Roads Theater, little miniature, like 40-seat theater off of Tahunga and like Studio City. Then later on, when I built the theater, we became Acme when I built the theater that was in NoHo, and then later on, they moved over the hill without me. But this is March 31st from 1990. So I was 26 years of age, and it's just like bit, you know, improv bit, and I see my name scattered
all
throughout it. Now, I was never getting paid. As a matter of fact, you had to pay. There were dues. It was like $50 a month to perform for free for three people in the audience, but that's what I did. And I never stopped beating that drum with people, like, look, this is what you got to do. And they go, dude, I got a job. And I go, you think, oh, Pops Corolla just brought a wheelbarrow in full of cash every, and asked if the air conditioning was working well in the Bentley, or do you think I had a full-time job too? And then at night, I went to the Acme Theater.
That's, $50 a month ain't nothing.
When you don't possess car insurance, and the $50 a month could go to comp and collision, it's an interesting Sophie's choice one has to make. So
there's about 9 written sketches with credited writers. One of them is Coming Attraction by Adam Carolla. Do you remember that?
I remember.
That's the only one that's credited solely to you. One that's you and another writer.
I remember it by, there's Handy Woman by Adam Carolla.
Oh, I missed that one. Sorry.
Remember I talked about different shades? Some people have it.
How dare you? Show that type. That's hard to read. I saw the one.
That's
what
a standard New Times Roman, Brian.
Little bit's healthy in there. All right. So anyway. So
why do I feel foolish for bringing up the sketch you wrote? Please don't.
No, you said
that.
Only one was written.
You're
by
right. You're right. I'm foolish.
So and I said I was scattered all over the thing. So now I look like a douche. But here's the point. I wrote things, and then you'd be in improvisational. You know, group improvisational stuff and stuff like that. All right. Gina, how many did I write? 2?
All right.
One that's co-written. What I would have done with you and John McCann.
Oh, co-written. Right. Yeah. I would co-write everything because I couldn't type. Mm. I'd have to get with something.
Literally co-write.
Oh, that what I would have done bit was a funny bit. That was the bit when we got the horrible review from the LA Weekly and they said, good sketch comedy is honed in the workshop, not farmed out to be written at home. They gave me a lecture on it and then went on to say the only good bit of the whole night was what I would have done. I went to John McCann and said, I got an idea for a bit. You can write. You can type. Here's all the beats. Go home and do it. He went home and did exactly the opposite of what the LA Weekly explained, how good sketch comedy was produced, how it was nurtured, and then use that as an example of the best one of the night, which I found that it must have been at that tender age I realized you shouldn't really believe almost anything.
Beginning your long run of great success with critics, your relationships with many critics over the years.
Well, later on, it goes to Entertainment Weekly, and it's Kimmel makes his ill-fated move to late night, and Comedy Central performs a Corollectomy, and you go, well, that's wrong. Those things are wrong, too. And then you start to realize that was, you know, fast forward, you know, 15 years. Yep. And that, now I'm reading
Why
that.
Why were you a braying sports ass?
That was Tom Shales.
Right.
Calling me a braying sports aficionado.
Aficionado.
On a man show review where I'd probably done 2 sports-related bits out of 100 bits. Like, Dave's the sports guy, but I'm not the sports guy. That's from the man show.
It's possible that Tom Shales looks at any heterosexual man as a sports aficionado.
Oh, well.
Who's Dave? He's not the sports guy.
Oh, sorry. Bill Simmons is.
Thank you, Ace.
Bill Simmons is the sports guy. So, I'm the sports guy. Tom Brady shouldn't have never been to the White House. He's got a family tragedy. go Sox. All right. So,
Vin Diesel's number 2. You're number 1, Ace.
So I said to Ray, so you guys tell me, you just tell me how this works. So I've been sort of explaining, here's how it works for extended periods of time to many people, none of whom will have anything to do with anything about me saying how it works. Now, it's weird because when I got in and I finally met Jimmy Kimmel, I listened to every goddamn word that guy said because he had a $60,000 a year job on the radio, and I also found my Bodies in Motion.
What?
Yeah, it's my, I realize, I sometimes go, I can't remember what class I taught. I taught the 6:30 a.m. boxing class on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. This was my...
That was probably pretty popular.
You should do, because I've said it on this show at least 2 or 3 times, that One of the great tales. The first thing I ever did with you, Adam Carolla, was you and me went to somewhere in the valley. We did the Sex Factory.
Yeah, with Marty.
Right, and we went over to the Sex Factory, and so we had like almost an hour long drive, and I said, "What's your story? How'd you come to be?" You and I didn't know each other, and you spun a yarn to beat the band. You should do every year. You should do a telling of that story of how you came to be,
like a Christmas carol.
Well, it's true. It's a great tale.
We'll do it on the second every year. And look, my whole
you do it every year.
My whole thing, no, but
I
do it like nine times a show. But also,
I only see one of your classes on there
in the trivia department. I found the Sweet 16 invitation to Beth Ringwald's Sweet 16 party. Where I got to sit next to Blair from The Facts of Life.
Lisa Welchel?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
16-year-old Adam Carolla. 10/26/1980, from 1 to 4. My Sweet 16, written in pink pen.
All handwritten in total girl bubble letters in pink.
Can you tell you how stoked I was when I got that.
What's Marrakesh? That's where the party was.
It's insane. She had her Sweet 16 birthday party at a Moroccan food place on Ventura Boulevard, which is way out of the box for a 1980
so
and living in the valley.
The 16.
I know. That place on Studio
on
City. It's closed
City.
Now, right? Yeah, but
it was
recently.
There for a million years. Yeah. And maybe it still is now. But
they never recovered from that 16th birthday.
I don't want to out any of her personal information, but she has the greatest phone number I've ever seen. RSVP to 766 Beth.
She was on top of her man.
That's awesome.
She had a car.
My phone number has Mario Lemieux's uniform number in it. That's about as good as I can.
866 POTS. Call Dave Damashek now, everybody. So, it's just one of these things where you're going through boxes of stuff and you're just finding junk, no particular theme. But it all brings you back. So I was thinking about Ray. So, Ray, I might need an assist. Gary, I don't.
Was this a DTR party?
It was a DTR party. Don't tell Ray. Gary was probably there for me screaming my lungs out at Ray about taking an improv class.
Many times.
Many times. Okay. But more recently. So what happened?
It's called Ace on the House.
This is recent? This is in 2017? You told Ray he needs an improv class?
Well, here's what happened. One of the failings that people have...
Who's the old guy?
...is not...
Oh, God.
...not listening is the number one thing that you screw up in improv. Everyone thinks, it's about being fast on your feet. Or
chamber
coming up,
a joke.
I got to get a joke going here.
Get it on deck.
But really what they teach you is listening. Mm-hmm. And you also realize, and I realized when I started doing Loveline, listening's a skill. It's not. We're not born with it. We think we listen because we hear audible stuff, but we don't really listen in an effective way. And when I got to Loveline, I could remember my first couple of nights, like the person would be talking and I'd be thinking, oh, and it's a joke or herpes or something, you know. And it kept happening that I would say, are you guys married? You know, having trouble with their man or something. I'd go, are you guys married? And Drew would go, yeah, they're married. That was always the scariest part when Drew would answer before the person answers, because that meant they said it, and I didn't, whatever. And it happened all the time. We go, geez, man, still getting in trouble with the law. How old are you? And then Drew would go, 19. And I'll go, oh, my God, they said it again, and I wasn't listening. And it took me a while to listen. But you realize listening is kind of the... It's kind of the compulsory part of the figure skating competition, which is it doesn't matter how good you are in the freestyle. If you can't do this first, you'll never get to that. If you just announce, I'm not going to do the compulsories, they'll go, well, then you're not going to be judged, and you can go home. So it's like, listen first, get good at listening, and then make all the great comedy gold you can. So I realized, I always knew it, but I realized pretty closely that Ray wasn't listening. Ray was bad at listening. But Ray's bad at listening, but a lot of people are bad at listening.
Skill.
That's fine. But a lot of people don't do podcasts and then aren't going to be on Spike TV shows where there's cameras.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people. But listen, There are a lot of people who do interviewing for a living who you can plainly tell are not listening to the subject at all. The tells are, you can always tell if you're watching that person or listening to them, is they, you can feel them waiting for the last syllable to come out of the subject's mouth, and then they say something like, oh, definitely, definitely. Now, can we, you know,
no follow-up.
You're not hearing me at all. You're not, yeah.
Well, Adam, you've done radio tours.
Well, it's insane. But this is why, I mean, one, it, look, I don't want to tell people don't prep, but when you do prep and you have a list, a laundry list of questions, while the person's answering your last one, you're looking down at your next one, and then that's the next thing that comes flying out of your mouth. Right. As soon as the other person shuts up for more than a second and a half, you'll just launch your next question on your list.
As opposed to building a conversation already in progress.
Yeah, because inevitably someone will say something in their first answer that should lead to something interesting. So, Ray's not a good listener. So I said to Ray, hey, we are going, I said to him 4 months ago, I said, I have a novel idea. You're not good at listening, and I'm going to have to do a one-hour live TV show on Spike where you're going to be standing next to me not really listening. So I would like for me, but mostly for you.
For us,
that you should take an improv class, and you should really get some of the basics of improv down, and I think that's going to help you a lot. And again, as I scream at everyone all the time, none of this is, hey, bitch, shine my shoes, and I'm going to consider whether you give me a blowjob on the way back up. It's never that. It's always like, here's something that would benefit you. That's when the person tells me to go F myself.
So, that hurts my feelings, Ray would say.
I said, look, let's just be straightforward here. You're not good at this, but by the way, you're not supposed to be good at it. You're a carpenter from the Valley, but you're going to be on TV now. So seek out a class, get in that class, and hurry, because we're starting in 2 months.
So which one did he pick when he got right to it, when he went right to the computer? I.O., UCB, Groundlings?
At some point, I checked. So he then sent me a text, like maybe a week later, that said, I got my new guy. You know, his name is Stan. He's my coach. And I just wrote him an enthusiastic, great, get started. You know, like I was kind of doing this thing where it's like, how many reps with the personal trainer could you get in before the bikini competition? You know what I mean? Like you can't sit down and have coffee with him. Like I need you at the gym with this guy. And at that point, the show was starting in like 2 weeks. And I was like, well, maybe he could meet with him like 3 or 4 times if he hurries. You know, we used to meet sometimes twice a week, or we'd always meet like twice a week. But anyway. So at some point then, the show's on a Tuesday. This was on the Wednesday, the week before the show launched. I sort of said to him, this is the other thing these people constantly require, is a constant checking up, because they never do anything you discuss. Even if it benefits them, it's still a constant. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like the kids. Did you brush your teeth? I brushed right. Let me get the toothbrush. Oh, you just wet it under the sink. You know, it's like you're dealing. This is what 9-year-old Sonny doesn't do it, but this is what 9-year-olds do. You tell them, brush your teeth. You don't want to get the cavities, you know, and they go, all right. And then they go in and watch TV, and they go to bed, and then you ask them, then you argue, and then the next night, you must go through the same retarded ritual.
Parental bliss, you described.
Again, but I think everyone looks forward to the time when the child gets old enough so you don't have that argument in perpetuity for the rest of your life. But no such luck with many, many folks I know. So I said to him, how's it going with the coach?
Stan.
Yeah. What was his name, Gary? He has a good.
I thought it was Rod.
No, it wasn't Rod.
We're pulling the clip right now. Give me a moment.
All right. So
I'm going to go with Stan.
Mort.
Oh,
yeah, it was a good comedy
Mort?
Name. Yeah, like Morty.
Amazing.
So I said,
it has to be Mort.
So he was sitting right where you're sitting, and I said, how's it going?
You want to get the laughs, kid? You'll take it from me. I'm Mort.
Give me an update.
I killed him in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, I'm sort of picturing the guy from Borat, who is his comedy coach.
Not.
I love that scene.
I forgot all that.
Take a beat.
So,
that was such a good scene.
I said to him, I said to Ray, I said, how's it going with your guy? Mort, yeah. He said, I'm going to meet with him later this week. And I said, okay, but how's it been going, you know, so far? And he said, oh, I don't know. We haven't got together yet. And I said, you're going to meet later this week? And I said, he said, yeah, later. You know, I don't know, later this week. And I said, but we're starting on Tuesday. So this is Wednesday.
I'm going to meet him for 15 minutes. It's right. A big deal, Ace. We'll figure it out.
I'm literally going to meet him.
So I said, and then he did what, by the way, all these guys, all the mega losers do. I've gotten into it many times around here, which is
the worst team name ever.
It's
introducing
from
North Carolina.
Hey, bad news, Redskins. What's that? We got a replacement name.
Less we're offensive.
What we're looking for is a little reparations here. So it's, you know, if you guys could just go with the demons, that'd be fine, but no harm, no foul. What you've done to the Native American community for the past 71 years has been reprehensible. So we're going make a loser for 71 years. And then we can go to demons. Or maybe there'll be some invention by there that everyone will
raise
be into.
Raise the logo.
Well, it's like no one knew what a raptor was when I was growing up, but now we do.
Your fans can call you the Hogs, but the rest of the world's going to know you as
the mega loser. So I said to him, so I did what I do, which is I go, what the F? Like, what? You've not met with this person yet? What's going on? The show's going to start. And he does the he does what all these guys do, which is he pushes back. Oh. Hey, I was said to him, I was going to meet later this week. I go, later this week, the show. And then it escalates. And then at some point, he yells, you want me to go meet him right now? You want me to call him right now? Go meet him right now? And then I do what I always do, which is obviously yes, because I feel like that's the only way this is ever going to happen. And then he storms out. He storms out and he yells, go F yourself. And he storms out. And I said,
he improvised that line.
I said, all these guys. Yeah.
You didn't plan it.
Yeah. F and. So I say these guys all the time, I'm rich. You're standing in my warehouse. Those are my Lamborghinis back there. I don't care about this for me. I'm doing it for you. And I sometimes, to raise credit, I said, did you just hear what you just said to me and how you said it to me? We're discussing you being on my TV show, which you, the other component to this, which is unbelievable, which is they do have a mode where they're begging to be on the show.
Sure.
They don't have a mode where they take an improv class, but they do that part where they try to get you to do something, that manipulation mode that they have.
Well, and wasn't it the same with the radio show?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, no,
I could get Ray to go away super easy. He'd go, hey, I think maybe I could do something on the morning show. I'd go, oh, hey, I love that idea. Go write 10 ideas and bring them back, and then we'll pick one. And then I'd never see him. I wouldn't see him for 18 months. And then at some point he'd come back and go, hey, I think maybe I should be doing it. I'd go, oh, that sounds awesome. Go write 10 bits and bring them back. We'll pick two.
Buy yourself another 8 months.
Right. Hey, fat guy, go do 100 push-ups, and then we can talk about being your trainer. And it's like, no, never going to happen. So
I'm doing the timeline math. Is this matching up with right on the time you were asking him for the pictures?
Yeah.
Because I can see how that would exacerbate
a lot of storming during that period. Storming out.
And so
you've hired him to be on your TV show where there are literally thousands of people desperate for an opportunity like this, and he's yelling "F you" as he walks out the door. I love
well, that part of the part of why
he drives a hard bargain, Dave.
Part of why I like to call
make you want him more.
Why I like to call it a syndrome is because it never makes sense. And what I'm saying is if somebody, you know, if the husband takes out the big insurance policy on their wife and is slowly poisoning her, or makes it look like she drowned in the tub and then hammered the check and he's going off to Maui with his mistress now, that guy's a bad guy, but he's not insane.
We can follow the logic of what
he did. He's a bad guy. Now, the guy goes into the supermarket and just opens fire on random people and kills 9 people. That's a syndrome. That's an insane person. So one is, well, okay, the guy got caught, but at least in theory benefited him. He got his $500,000 from State Farm. He went to Maui with his 21-year-old girlfriend. Fine. The other one, the guy's going to the supermarket randomly shooting people. It's just going to get killed by a SWAT team member. Right. So that's insane. And what I'm saying with this syndrome that I want you guys all at home to kind of think about.
You're defending the wife murderer.
Yes. Most of it flies in the face of, well, why wouldn't this person do this for them?
Yeah,
and that's where it becomes the syndrome part.
It's an unbalanced equation. You're like, well, if he wants this and he can do this, why doesn't he just? It's like, well, it's never going to add up. It's never going to make sense.
So, smash cut to Tuesday of this week. Wednesday, sorry, of this week, and we're sitting right where we're sitting. And just because, like I said, you have to, like the kid with the brush and the teeth, because it'd been, now it's been a month and a half, and I haven't brought it up. We've been doing the show. Ray's been,
I've noticed the improvement as he's taking the classes from Mort. It's noticeable.
He's working hard, but he's not really saying much, and it's fine, but he could do more if he wanted. And so I just said to him, how's it going with Mort? How's it going with the
coach?
When's the last time you saw him? And he goes, it's about 2 weeks. And I said, 2 weeks? Wow, we're in the middle of the shoot here, you know? And he said, dude, we're at this point, we're 6 shows into a 10-run, 10 shows. And the 7th is less than a week away. So he says, it's about 2 weeks. And I said, 2 weeks? And he goes, what all these idiots do? 3 weeks, maybe? And now you know, okay, all right. Right. So now I said, 3 weeks or a month? And he goes, all right, it's been a month. And I said, well, how's it going? And he's like, well, not good. I'm like, what's going on? Gary, you got to help me with this. But he said, they sat down.
Sure did.
They had, like, coffee or something.
He didn't think the breathing game was as funny as I did.
Ray asked
to be
him
fair,
to,
he couldn't answer.
Ray asked him to listen to some Ace on the House before they ever met.
He wanted to do an air check,
yeah,
which is listen to a podcast.
He wanted the guy to get a feel for
Ray where he's wanted
at.
The coach to get a feel. Oh, yeah. It usually works the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way,
Ray's paying him.
So they didn't like some of the answers the guy was giving him.
Wasn't a good fit.
No, but
it wasn't a good fit. They just didn't see eye to eye, and it wasn't a good fit. And I said, okay, so what's the plan? And the plan is he's currently out looking for class, except for that. That was a month ago.
He'll find one by the rap
still
party.
Not found one. And then it dawned on me, oh, we're going through this whole season, and you'll not have taken something that is... if you'd like to enroll in an improv class, and this is something you stumble across midnight on a Tuesday night, by 10 a.m., you can be enrolled on a Wednesday. Simply go online, type in whatever, the Groundlings, Improv Olympics, whatever, will all pop up, and then you just go sign up for the closest, whatever, get
this
a coach,
like,
whatever it is. So I really started really thinking about that oppositional defiant disorder and realized Ray lives in an apartment, is going to turn 54 in 5 weeks, drives a pickup truck that is worth less than $3,000 and does not own any other car, and he's going to take this to the grave hanging on with both hands. That is what it's about, the saddest thing you could say. And as I say to Fondalier all the time, and I use no hyperbole, I would much rather both my kids lose a limb, and a good one. Like, if they're right-handed, I'd much rather them lose a limb than have half of this disorder. It is the straightest line to failure that there is. There's other little personality, you know,
addiction things.
There's addiction, and there's back pain, and there's little quirks and idiosyncrasies. But this is a straight line to failure. And the beauty of it is there's nothing you can do about it. There's no amount of talking. There's no amount of yelling. There's no amount of Max Pata. I mean, you've been here. Gary's been here. There's no amount of go do this. Listen to me. This is how you get it. That'll ever. They hate it because the whole show turns into an argument.
No, Chris is nodding.
Is there any part of this? First off, am I using any hyperbole
now? that on this occasion he's a yes and. You're right about this one.
This is all verifiable by listening to Ace on the House. This always happens on the show.
Garrett, when is it air? When is it
Saturday?
Saturday's okay. Saturday.
But you can go back the last
the last 6 weeks
of the
at least.
Last 6 episodes.
I mean, I think it's only fair to Ray. Give him a few more decades.
Yeah, give him
one. And then, I mean, at some point, he'll turn.
It's easy to rush a judgment now.
Well, and it's like you talk about having F me money. This is like F me logic. Like, I'm going to take you down with me. Because I don't care.
I wouldn't even assign it something even nefarious. It's just, they first off, they push back like a pit bull. I always tell you, you get a pit bull, they grab the rope toy. Mm-hmm. You grab one end, they grab the other. It's not like they like going north and you like going south. You can spin around in 1,000 different compass headings. They're just pulling.
Are you, though,
Ace? You know what I mean?
Do you self-diagnose, or is Dr. Drew Ambass, do they say you're narcissistic or vain or either? Or do you consider yourself either?
I scored super high on Drew's narcissism test, but that was just a weird test.
I don't understand, because I, as I always say, I'm not narcissistic. It's easy to confuse. I am vain, and it's my vanity that requires your attention. But I
agree with that concept, by the way.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's certainly true for me. And there's a part of me, I don't like anybody then offering fixes to me. Well, I thought you liked me. What do you tell me? You wanna, hey, you know what could be better? You're going to do this show. Well, you know what would help
if you did this,
you'd be even better. Like, well, do you want me or do you not? Because this is it.
Let me tell you this.
See what you get.
Let me tell you this. There's two types of sort of stuff.
No, it's too late. Get the blaster out. Who's eating it? Oh, wait, he didn't eat it. I'm sorry.
There's a couple versions of this. There's a version of when Careful. Somebody says you're Careful. Ugly or you're stupid mm-hmm. or something, and then it's like F yourself or you're
right,
whatever.
That's a insult.
But then there's a kind of a what I would say to a lot of people is I have figured a lot of this stuff out that I don't think you're figuring out, but don't worry, I'll fast track you by just laying it on you, and you don't have to go out and sort of take your knocks, so right. to speak. I'll just tell you how to do it. Like, a perfect example of that with Ray, and a perfect example of why he's an insane loser is, and by the way, my dad's been his therapist for 20 years. I told him, you got to get a rebate, man. You got to get some money back, or there should just be a lawsuit against, sue my dad.
Go We're ahead. Headway.
We started doing the podcast. We started doing Ace on the House. And he's like, I want to get paid. And I said, yeah, I wanted to get paid when I started doing podcasting, too. But I didn't get paid. As a matter of fact, I paid. I had to buy the bandwidth and the equipment and the studio. And I didn't get paid. But here's what you do. You do a show. You do a consistent show. You build an audience. You get some advertisers. And then you get paid. But right now, we're just starting. We don't have an advertiser, and we need to build an audience. We need to build a show. And so I could pay you $100 a show to come in here. That's fine. But later on, when we start getting a following and we start getting advertisers and we start making some money, you're going to want a piece of that, not $100. Mm-hmm. For the rest of your life.
No matter what, yeah.
But instead, you're going to want to be a part of building the show, getting the advertisers in, and then putting yourself in for 30% or whatever it is of that, and getting hopefully something greater than $100. But it's the beginning, so we got to do it for free. I'm doing it for free. I'm doing it right here. I'm not getting paid. I'm just doing it trying to build the audience.
And now give me my $100.
We'll build as fast as we can. And I said, you get it? And he said, yeah, I got it. And I said, okay. And I got a call from my money manager like 2 hours later. And she's like, Ray called. He wants $100. Now, maybe that's a form of narcissism on my behalf. I don't know.
No, I'm saying that, yeah, it might be because I don't think... I can't tell if you, I wouldn't know if you're vain or narcissistic, but I think delicate flower is sort of the thing that, but Ray is, as I've always said, million-dollar body, 10-cent head guy, but I think he's a delicate flower. He wants you to praise him. He doesn't want to hear, like me, I don't want to hear what's wrong with me. That's how I hear it.
The thing that I find.
Why do I need classes?
What do I think I find interesting about all this stuff is I go,
I resented school for telling me that I had to know about math. Like, says you, I have to know this. I can tell you now, I do not aspire to use your algebra in the rest of my day. So let me free from here. No, you have to stay here, Dave. I resent that.
Well, I
school's a jerk.
School.
See, this is me not getting preachy or sing-songy. Me simply telling you, here's the directions to the destination. Here's
you're
the
right.
best path. You're asking. You're by the side of the road, and you want to know the directions. And I'm giving you mm-hmm. the directions.
Yeah,
this is how it works.
You're out ahead, and you're calling back how you got there.
Right. That's why I want this direction now. Here's
yeah.
how you can go this direction too. But that's part of why it's this like a syndrome.
Yeah.
It's not fixable.
That's
my point.
I don't know Ray well enough. Does he just not want? Oh, that sounds so weird. Like, does he just not want that opportunity? Does he not want that success? Like, he's just like happy.
He's dying to be on the TV show.
Oh, well, that doesn't make sense at all then.
That's why it's a syndrome. Again, he walked into the supermarket. He shot 8 people he never knew. Yeah. two of them were kids. Oh. Yes. Okay.
Figuratively.
All right. Maz is here. Let's see. Let me take care of a quick piece of business. Cabbage. Oh, here's something. They don't have to worry about Ray for this. This is cabbage. This is getting funding for a small business. Cabbage helps small businesses.
I want 100 cabbage.
Helps small business owners get flexible funding right away without the headaches of a traditional loan. Apply online or from your phone. No waiting in line, scanning documents, or tracking down financial statements. Only pay for the funds you actually use. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses with $2.9 billion in funding. $2.9 billion. So visit Cabbage, KABBAGE.com/Adam. It's no cost to apply. As an Adam Carolla Show listener, you can when you qualify for funding, you'll get $100 worth of Visa gift card. So let's go to Cabbage. That's Cabbage with a K. KABBAGE.com/Adam. Let's get that gift card, Matt. All right, we got a couple of calls up there.
What about
Chef,
if you bring more in
life?
Here? What if you bring Mort in here to do a review of all the people on there?
That's a good question. Do you
That'd
think Mort, do you think Mort is real?
That'd be fun.
Do you think Mort exists in this carbon-based world?
Gary, he said, and by the way,
Tony Darko situation.
Get Mort.
The other thing about these people with this syndrome, like Ray, is they definitely do not look at themselves as liars, but they lie all the time. There's a whole new breed of American who are, how dare you call me a liar? I'm as straight up as they possibly get. Who just routinely lie? Like you go, when did you see him last? 2 weeks. When? 3 weeks. How long? 4 weeks.
Like, final answer.
Has it been 4 weeks or has it been never? Or I don't. I met a couple times.
That's because like 30 years ago, you could get away with this such lies. But now in 21st century technology, which is another jerk, by the way, it now exposes your lies all the time.
You have a tracking device on your phone.
I know. You're like, well, why, all you have to do is go online, Ray, and sign up for a class. Like, I don't have a good answer to that.
Gary,
there isn't a reasonable response.
They met
for that.
A couple of times.
I believe
two times.
I believe so.
I think you should verify.
I think you said a few, and then you drilled them down, and we got to two.
We
got
to call Mort.
to do what? To discuss working together, right? Not to work.
Yeah, I got the distinct. This is me inferring, but I got the distinct impression that Ray was not happy with Mort's review of the material he had. He'd listen to,
right.
And therefore it wasn't gonna be a good fit.
Oh no!
Right, but they probably met once.
I would be fine with that guess.
And it was over a month ago, and Ray's not been able to find a class.
Oh, well over a month.
Yeah.
Ray always had that weird instinct. I would say it's because I think psychologically, probably, he has a guy who's wildly successful in his orbit. And there's something about you then telling him, a guy who he grew up with, go take a class. So now he feels like, well, if I do that and I go all the way through it, is Ace going to then be disappointed and be kind of embarrassed for me? Like, oh, that didn't fix him. At least if he avoids taking the class, then he has that to fall back on somewhere in the recesses of his own brain. But the other thing with him is, even when we would play basketball, I always think that exposes a lot about people
playing basketball. Yes,
when you play ball with people,
because your personality comes
out. 3-on-3. Ray, it has to be embedded in his brain to do this. You can't do it in the moment, decide I'm going to do it. Anytime he missed a shot, foul, everything like, right. You know that wasn't. Like, that's out on you. No, it wasn't. Everybody knows it wasn't out on him, Ray. It was out on you. Like, all right, you're right. Why the instinct of lying, that reflexive weird lying to get the stink off you all the time?
Again, it does not serve you. And obviously, this look at your life, number one. Number two, to your first assertion that, well, maybe if he took the class and he didn't get much better, then be shaming. Again, this is like, well, we got 8 dead bodies in the Albertsons. Maybe someone in the frozen food department offended the guy. And it's like, no, he's nuts and he's a killer. It's not we with our logical brains are constantly trying to make sense of things and go, yeah, but maybe there's a that's the syndrome. That's where the syndrome kicks in. Can't even do stuff that is good for you. And again, because we don't have that syndrome, we try to cobble it together. Like, there must be some reason, some motivation or some whatever.
Ace, like, you don't get questioned enough. You do a good job of interviewing people who come in here, but I don't think you get interviewed enough. People always ask me questions that are interesting that I don't feel like I'm in a position to answer. And then people say, ask a Corolla this. People, somebody asked me this the other day, and I know, you know, I'm not a world class, you know, I'm funnier than like 53% of the population. But you're being sports ass. You're like, yeah. You're like top, you know, 95th percentile, 99th percentile. Where does the joke come from? Somebody said, how do you come up with when it's time? We need a joke on what's in the news today. You know,
420.
Sarah Palin was at the White House last night. What? Make a joke about that. How do you put it together? I said, I don't know. I'm not good at it. That's not my wheelhouse.
She
one
could
liner.
See Russia from the Oval Office.
But where does it come from? I said to me, it's like sort of what you're saying. Like, it's about blank in your brain, not concentrating.
I always tell everybody, if you'd like to do back to improv, if you want to be good at improv, be like a good center fielder in baseball. Don't be moving any direction before the ball is hit. And then be in this sort of stance. You think about a center fielder stance. They're not leaning forward. They're not leaning backwards, right or left. They have this sort of very neutral but can go. It's a stance that doesn't favor any direction but can get you into that direction as quickly as possible. Not quicker than the stance if you're in a three-point stance and you're going forward, but with the opportunity to have to go to the wall or the warning track, this shall be my best neutral can go any direction stance. So be in that stance, and then, like a good center fielder, you can start moving as the guy's swinging the bat. You don't have to wait to have it get over the infield. You know what I mean? Like, right. You can start as the guy's swinging. You can tell if that thing's going into left field or right field or popping up or short or long. Like, you can, a good center fielder, anyone who's played baseball, you can start taking two steps toward the left field line before the ball comes off the bat. And, you know, sometimes it's just a foul out or something, but you'll see center fielders or any of those guys like moving as the guy's swinging. So get in that neutral sort of buoyant position and don't start moving while the pitcher has the ball, but as soon as the guy starts his swing, you can start moving that direction.
Interesting. And I also like that you had great advice too long ago. Batting average. That's the big one.
Always said
if you're wise, if you're trying to be a wiseacre, it's your batting average that people are going to remember. It's not the towering shots as much as it is how regularly you're making contact. That's exactly right. If you throw some big stinkers out there, that's what people are going to remember.
I sort of learned it from doing Stern, which is like you can hang back and not talk for 11 minutes at a time and then come in with a zinger.
Would do that all the time. He's the funniest sidekick of all time. Kimmel and Sal go on and on. It's like, well, sometimes he'll speak once every 40 minutes.
Right. But as long as when you do speak, it's a doozy. You can go back to not speaking for another 40 minutes and then people just go, oh, yeah, that guy's super funny. On that show. Now, obviously, if you host the show or a show or this show or that show, you don't have a choice. Right. But if you're going to hang back, wait. Because otherwise, what you do is you try to jump in every 45 seconds with some, you know, B minuses, C's, and C minuses, and that starts muddying your grade, your GPA. Just throw in an A, space out your classes, and go to the college of your choice. All right. True car, man. You want to buy new, you want to buy used, or previously owned, as I like to say. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealerships nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get upfront pricing, info, discounts off of list pricing, and a better buying experience all the way around. See what others paid for the car you want and get the fair price when you connect with your local certified dealer and enjoy a quick and easy buying experience. So whether you're going new, whether you're going used, you got to go with True Car. And you could go online, can sign up for an improv class and then go right to TrueCar, find the dealer, certified dealer, lock in your price, get your certificate. Max Pata did it over there with his Prius. Looks brand new. Got the best price, the best time, the best neighborhood. TrueCar. New or used. Visit TrueCar.com. All right. Oh, boy. Just because I feel bad that people are on hold for millionaires, we're just going to power through here. Brenda, 49, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dina that I was, I got the book Eat Healthy, the Vinny, for that no sugar, no grain diet.
Eat Happy. Mm-hmm. That's Anna Vecchino's book, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just wondering what portion sizes, because when I'm the only one going to be eating it. But it says serving sizes.
Wow, what about the cats?
4 to 8. How do I cut that down?
I mean, they're going to get some scraps, right? Hey, Brenda, I'm going to answer.
Yeah.
For Gina.
I have a little frog in my throat.
Yeah, remember I talked about batting average? I got to answer everything. I've not found... The good thing about this is once you get off the sugar and once you get off the flour and the wheat, you can eat as much steak and cheese as you want. Like, you don't have to start weighing out portions anymore. It's all the one good part about this diet is go ahead and have the biggest steak they got on the menu. You just can't have the bread basket that shows up before the
no
steak.
No bread and no grain.
No grain, no sugar. So the pastas, and for a long time, too, you want the beans and the corn and the chickpeas, and you want to kind of put that
but,
aside.
But we don't have to weigh out the amount of broccolini you're going to eat.
There's
just eat as much broccolini
control.
As you, you want to eat. Yeah.
And your body will sort of figure that out for you. At the beginning, I was still overeating. Now, I just don't want as much as I did.
Also, we never got to the bottom of the Uncle Ben's converted rice. First off, no one knows exactly what the conversion process is.
Pre-parboiled.
But
something.
Gary, put that on our list of things to do because somebody tweeted me. Evidently, it's just the best rice. The thing that's heartbreaking to me is rice.
Yeah.
Because I use rice as the sort of like that is my giant AIDS quilt that we're going to picnic on. Mm. It's the base.
That's right. It's the sustenance. I don't know. I've been trying this.
Chinese food, you want to dump. I love that big bucket of rice, and then you dump everything on top of it. Going just straight main vein, unstepped on Chinese food sucks. But Vinny says, you know, the rice is bad, but if the Uncle Ben's has half all the
rice is like
stuff,
the Force in Star Wars. It binds us.
That's right.
I smell a rat, though, and I'm sure Vinny does, too. You.
I know, but he went and looked at both sides.
I can't wait to hear what he says about
Gary
that.
Gary, investigate. Thank you. All right. We got Mazes out there, so we're going to get going here. Rob, 30, Washington.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
man. Gina Bald, Shaq.
What's going on?
Hello.
Shaq, I'm with you on the high school algebra, man. That was BS.
Listen, as I've said, addition, subtraction, I get it. Multiplication tables up through 11, maybe even 12, I'll sign off on it. Long division, I don't know. After that, I have no use for it unless I'm going to be a chemist or a mathematician. What percentage of our population fills those two professions that we have to indulge for 8-10 years of our lives, this nonsense? Class every day, algebra, and pre-calculus, blah.
I took high school math and never took algebra.
How?
I barely got
warehoused.
There.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm with you, man.
Your kids don't do Common Core, do they?
I don't know.
Oh, who are you asking?
Ask the nanny.
I'll ask
who do you think you're talking to?
Because that's like an impossible new way to learn. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
Ace, I wanted to ask about a classic car song, man. One of the greats, if you ask me. I've never heard you mention it on air. Hot Rod Lincoln by Commander Cody.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if you heard it, what you think about it. If you don't stop driving that Hot Rod Lincoln.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. The telephone poles look like a picket fence. Right.
My mother.
And there's a great line in it where he says, you know, this kind of goes back to the rapper Common.
He's driving that Model A.
Right. My mother knew and knows all the words to the song. She would sing it to me.
That's how you get rich.
I'm not kidding.
Secret of success.
Has he dropped an N-bomb yet in the song?
No.
Are you sure?
With a four-barrel car. I don't. I've heard the song 200,000 times, but it could
be
why.
What was that word?
Brian's mom's favorite song.
That's right. She would
maybe
repeat
it's all
it.
The inbounds.
Actually,
no, there's
only one lyric, one word.
There's no.
The hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pub.
Glad I was
maybe
wrong.
It's the pub part. Them all. Got overdrive. Just
I'm sorry
yeah,
you were wrong.
Safety
I wish it worked.
And 411 gears and a four. Yeah.
Ace, my cousin Mitchell in Harrisburg, PA, listened to us when you were talking about Cher's Black Lady. Mm. Do you know her? He said, what about the song Half Breed? And I didn't know that one. And he sent me the video. It's wild, surreal stuff. You know Half Breed?
If you...
I mean, obviously, you know it.
I know Dark Lady. I know you got to know Half Breed. Yes, I got yelled at by a woman of color when I was coaching my kids' basketball team. It's part one of the many reasons I decided to move out of Hollywood. Is she headed up the comedy department at like the Fox News 11 or not Fox News, but like a. W. I'm trying to think what Channel 13 was.
CW?
Now WB, whatever it is. Whoa. And I'd mentioned half breeds, and her kids were half black and half white, and she decided to come over and settle my hash.
But was something you said on the air?
Yeah, but I had to explain to this bitch that half breed is an Indian. It's an Indian term, the people don't call black people half breeds. It was a term. From a Cher song.
This is wildly offensive.
She's sitting on a pony wearing. Look.
That's on live TV, you understand. This is in the 70s. She's doing the Cher, Sonny and Cher show.
Yeah. No.
And they brought a horse on the stage and they dressed her up like an Indian.
In a bikini.
Look, it was simpler times. Like, they probably took like 16 penny nails and nailed the horse's hoof down to the floor. Like, we can't have him moving. Yeah. And someone went, is that going to hurt? And they went, oh, we're going to kill him later. Don't worry about it.
Do you know that horse? It's funny. Took an improv class from Morton.
For this
look
one
how much
spot. Dedication.
She's wearing a Comanche, war priestess outfit that Bob Mackie made in 1974.
Is Cher 1975 Foxy or no?
Yeah.
She's got a great body.
Look at that.
I'm not talking about it.
Well, that counts.
I'm just asking a question.
No, I've never not been my cup of tea. But it had in the 70s, I had a little butter face going on, had a little bit of a. See, this is all before veneers and straightening all the teeth out and getting all the stuff taken care of. But all right, she's sitting on a horse in an Indian dress.
You right. should do a horse on your show.
Let's
not do it.
We have Philly.
Real quick, and then. Maz is out there. Hey, Adam. I mean, Andy, sorry. 44?
Yeah, hey, Adam. How are you?
What's going on?
Not much. Hey, I thought you might find this interesting. I was watching Rachel Maddow's show on Tuesday night, and she got all excited because she was doing her new segment, which was called Stupid or Nefarious.
Yeah, this
and,
is...
I kind of stood up in bed and went, wait a second. Heard that one before, and... I was kind of curious your thoughts on it, if you had heard about it.
Somebody tweeted me that, and it's, stupid or liar. I believe now more than ever that almost any question of any politician or any policy or anything, anytime anyone opens their mouth, it's either stupid or liar. Like, it'll solve one or the other problems. If you're having some question, like, why would he do that? Or why does this politician make this policy and live in this district? You just, when they start waxing on, you just got to go stupid or liar. And if you play stupid or liar with almost everything, you'll arrive at it'll be one or the other.
You're stupid if you genuinely believe that, or else you're lying to me that you genuinely believe it.
Yeah, that I mean, Gavin Newsom sat where Dave Damashek is sitting, and you could have played stupid or liar over 118 things he told me. Like, if you really believe that, you're stupid. But he's not stupid; he was lying. And by the way, I'd like to get back to calling it lying. It's like, well, he's stretching the truth a little bit. I'm sure he knows better, but it's like, all right, it's called lying. Like, whether it's Ray saying 2 weeks or Gavin Newsom explaining whatever he was explaining to me, they're lying.
They're alternative facts.
I would call it a lie. It makes I like it better. All right, last but not least, but I don't think she ripped it off for me. I just think of things before other people think of things, and then other people get on to there's those things
local,
later on.
There's a local AM show in the afternoons that does Florida or Not.
Yeah. So, like, it used to be Florida, Germany. Right, right. And so I don't accuse them of ripping me off either. I think that's Jillian Anderson. Or Barbary. Jillian Barbary, sorry. different Jillian. Hey, Austin.
Jillian Barbary or Jillian Anderson.
That's a good game. Hey, Austin.
Jillian Barbary.
All right, good answer. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to talk to you about the Adam Carolla Friends Live, if you guys could start using steel studs. Because I remember you talking to Bagley about building that envelope house, and steel stud and track would be great for that.
It's a very specific request.
Yeah. It's hard because we're building these walls, and we have to, like, nail stuff to it and hang stuff on it and stuff like that. So they're not bearing. But
an hour.
I got it. And also the guys that are doing it work with wood. That's the way. But I like it. I use metal stud everywhere. This whole studio you see around you is all made of metal stud. So don't worry, Austin. I'm representing. Thank you. It's a better way to go. All right. Talk to some guy about building a modular house today. I'm excited. Dave Damashek, everybody. You can Facebook.
I give this appearance a C-. You were terrific, everybody. This wasn't my best. I'm going to self-grade every show now.
Okay.
From here on out.
I felt like you waited for your spots and you did what we talked about doing. I feel like you waited for your spots and you made the best of your opportunities.
You know what? I'm gonna give a call to Mort and I'll be better in 2 weeks. Yeah. That's my solemn promise to you. Hey, can I say this to you before I take off? Next week, I'm in your birth home, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Ace, for the NFL draft.
Ooh.
And I'm doing a show as soon as I leave here. NFL schedule release. Look for it on the DDFP. But then next week in Philly, talking to all the guys as they get drafted right after. Hopes and dreams realized. Then Damashek puts a mic in your face. Then I'll talk with Steve Smith and Greg Olson, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew. Check it all out.
The Dave Damashek football program is where you can hear that.
That was also serious, Gina Grad.
I like it.
The bring sports ass.
NFL.com/check. All right, Maz Jobrani. Coming in studio right after this.
I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Oh, hey, Adam. I just want to let you know I'm watching this thing on Amazon Prime called it's called The 24-Hour War. The 24-Hour War. And I'd seen your Paul Newman doc, and I was like, God, I bet Adam Carolla would love this. It's about all the intrigue between Ferrari and Ford and Le Mans and the importance of winning that so they can sell cars and be seen as a kind of a sports car manufacturer and, you know, cool and hip, and all the political intrigue of trading drivers and mechanics, and it's really great. And I was like, God, I bet Adam Carolla would just go nuts over this. It's on Amazon now, on Prime. It's called The 24-Hour War. And anyway, I think you'd love it. Check it out.
All right. You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah. You guys watch it and leave comments and reviews and I read them. So thank you. Maz Jobrani is here. Good to see you again, Maz.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. Just listening to that voicemail was interesting. When no one's there to cut you off, you just keep going.
It's interesting that I think you either go faster or slower and longer, and usually slower or longer. Anyone who's had a mom
Yeah.
Moms weren't built for phone answering machines.
Forget
anyway.
It.
Anyway.
Yeah.
My mom, the first 10 minutes is dedicated to, are you there? Pick up. Like, it's a cell phone, Mom. It's not. I'm not standing by
listening?
Watching the reel-to-reel going, I don't know if I'm emotionally up to this. I could pick up. Like, there's nothing to pick up.
I look at the, because now it tells you how long the message is. And I look at it and it'd be like 2.5 minutes. I'm like, what in the hell could this person have been saying? And you start listening, and about 10 seconds in, you know, you get it. You're done. But then I'm like, well, what if at the end he says, like, I'm going to kill myself? Or so, you know what I'm saying? Right. Or you're going to miss, I got to listen to the whole thing.
Right.
So you just sit there and you suffer through the long message.
Well, you're a better man than I. I have over 1,800 unlistened to voicemails on my
phone. What?
Wow.
Yeah, I can prove it.
Oh. What kind of memory do you have on that phone?
A lot, because I really don't like talking on the phone and I don't like listening to voicemail.
So you don't know that I have cancer?
Nope. What?
The other part. Where Mom will get you or anyone will get you is when they start ruminating and toggling. So they'll go like, we should do dinner on Thursday about 6. And she'll go, oh, wait a minute, Bridge. 6:30. Come at 6. Oh, no, wait a minute. Bridge is canceled. 6. Go, yeah. Let's go back. Oh, you know what? Come between 6. Oh God. Your dad's taking
a lot of stream of consciousness.
Between 5 and 6. And then you realize 10 seconds after you heard this message, you have no goddamn idea what time because they gave you 72 options and toggled back.
And that's the beauty of texting, which is like it is almost like you've committed to it. I mean, you can go back and forth a little bit, but it's done. But let me tell you one thing. I realized I was getting old a few years ago when I was doing a show, stand-up show at a college. And I showed up, and the kid who brought me there was like, yeah, this, that, and the other. I was trying to talk to my mom. I said, okay, what did you – and he goes, I didn't get through. I go, so you left her a message? He goes, why would I leave her a message?
Oh, man.
I go, well, that's what you do. He goes, no, I just text her.
It's all that now.
Yeah.
Speaking of you and campuses, I'm looking down here. You graduated from UC Berkeley, the BA in political science. So I have to ask you, since it's become a hotbed of activity – Berkeley's become like ground zero for the protests and like everything that's going on. And I guess it always kind of traditionally was the place to go to find your conflict or to find people speaking out. But everyone I talk to feels like we've jumped the shark. Like it's completely gone insane at this point.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
It's crazy because actually they've asked me to give the commencement speech this year, believe it or not. So,
wow.
Look at you.
So with what you just said, it gets more and more complicated because at first I was like, okay, I'm a comedian giving a commencement speech. Make some jokes at the top and then tell my story and move on. Then the protests and then more protests and then more. And I'm like, I'm sitting there and now Ann Coulter can't go to there. So I'm like, as a comedian, I got to speak up and go, you know, I believe in the First Amendment and we should let people speak. I don't agree with Ann Coulter at all. I dislike what she says. I didn't like Milo, whatever his name was, Sapalapapopoulos. You know, I don't know what his name is. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that guy. So it's, I got to, and I was telling my wife, I got to address this topic. And she's like, no, don't touch the topic. I go, I got to talk about it. Otherwise, I'm not being honest with what's going on, right? You can't just avoid it and be like, Berkeley, what? So it's so rosy these days, you know? Like, it's going crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if I was going to address the subject, I would start with, as a gay, transgendered
African-American.
African-American.
Yeah. Adopted.
From Tehran.
From Tehran.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Did I say lesbian yet?
We figured. But,
okay,
yeah,
good. Yeah. Now, I'm gonna lay out a few things.
Yeah, you give the speech. I would love to hear that.
It's got
to
start with something good.
That'll be your proxy.
You're from Iran, right?
Yeah, I was born
all right, but you got to start with when I was coming here from Iran.
Absolutely.
Under the cover of
tyranny.
Night.
Yeah, start with that. Yeah.
Out of Cyrano under podium?
No, I actually, it's funny you say that because actually.
My wife. Shh, partner. Partner.
Yeah.
Just say partner. You won't be lying.
Yeah. No, I actually wanted to say something along the lines of, and along with what you were just saying, I was going to say, like, you know, ladies, first I was going to go down the list of, like, you know, chancellor, dignitaries, students, blah, blah. And then I was going to talk about how uncomfortable I am when it, like, how many people do I have to address before I can get into the speech? You know what I'm saying? Like, when do you stop? Is it vice chancellor? Do you go to the crossing guard? How far do I have to go?
Guy works at the snack shack. Yeah, Vince at the snack shack.
And then I was just going to do something along. It's funny because I was thinking along the lines of what you were saying. I was going to say, like, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say, listen, let's just make it easy. Ladies and gentlemen, and since we're in Berkeley, which is very welcoming of people, to the ladies who used to be gentlemen and the gentlemen who used to be ladies.
Yep. Good.
And boom, right?
Good.
And get in. And then I was going to address the thing of, like, I know some of you are sitting there now shaking your heads going, Berkeley's not that welcoming. And then get into the whole thing of address the – there's going to be Republicans there as well. There's going to be people from the right as well as the left. So I got to address the fact that these guys weren't able to speak. And then just hit that real quickly and then get into my speech. So I think I got to touch it, and then I got to get into hopefully some jokes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've been watching – if you want to watch a great commencement speech, Conan O'Brien at Dartmouth. It's just amazing. This guy's – I mean
– Oh, yeah. You can do your due diligence now. You can go look at other people, see how long they went, see if they opened with some jokes and
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. And he kills it, and it's like – and that's the thing. See, the difficulty of being – I think the reason they chose me is because I'm from Iran, and like right now immigrant issues are really hot. So I think they want me to talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So as a comedian, I got to be funny. I got to talk about the immigrant stuff. I got to give some advice, and I got to touch on this free speech stuff. It's gonna be like a two hour special. 2 hour comedy special.
You know what you got to do?
Netflix. Yeah. Maz gives the commencement address.
You got it. Here's what you got to do. You got
to
get one of those like surfboard bags. You know when you're at the airport at LAX and you see that dude walking through LAX with the surfboard suitcase and you just think, what is he doing so right in his life? Like,
yeah.
I got a backpack stuffed with dirty underpants. Where are you going?
Yeah.
You know, he's always going somewhere cool.
Yeah.
And you know he doesn't even make any money.
And he's in a suit, but you're like,
he's living his dream somehow.
He's chasing the surfing season.
And you're like, how are you getting away with this? You get one of those bags.
Yeah.
You bring it to the stage.
All right.
Unzip it. Out comes Ann Coulter.
Yes. Now you're talking. See?
And you go, it's going to be a tight 18 minutes, and then I'm going to jump right in. If she gets to 25, I will cut her. I'll give her the flashlight at 20. And if she gets to 25, I'll shut the mic
Sandman
down.
Comes
That's
out.
Great.
That'd be
That's
awesome.
Good. See, I love how you're thinking. That's beautiful.
I bet Ann Coulter would go along with it as one of the greatest blow up the internet sort of ruses
That'd be a moment.
Ever, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or I think I put her on, and every time she says something really stupid, I just go, and I just like, you know, just the whole.
That would work well, but you got to surprise them with Coulter.
Yeah, she's got
to sneak her in.
Maybe I'll put on a blonde wig and give one of her speeches.
She's got to go on.
I watched
Kenny Chesney special on 60 Minutes.
Gosh.
They were doing like a 60 Minutes Kenny Chesney thing.
Where was he giving the commencement address?
And there's this part where it's like he has to get out to this peninsula at the front of his stage or whatever and pop up, you know, like dried ice, boom, cloud of smoke. And there he is, you know, with his sleeves cut off and everything.
Prestige.
And the way they got him there was they would put him in one of those rolling big drum kit trunks, you know, the trunks that all the roadies
use. Clowns, yeah.
And they put them in the trunk with the thing marked, you know, band equipment or whatever, and the guys with the hats backwards and the clipboards would just roll it out, and it looked like they're moving a piece of equipment or something before the show, but he was in it, and that's how they would... That's how you go with Coulter.
Element of surprise.
Yeah, you get like those rolling bins that you keep the amplifiers or the mics or the the speakers in or something.
Sticking with the Iranian theme, what I could do is I could bring a magic lamp, a huge magic lamp on stage,
and start rubbing it.
And then
she pops out.
Dressed as a genie.
Oh,
come on, chiffon.
What do you guys think?
That's what's a thing. That'd be a viral.
Come on.
And she calls you Master.
Master.
Strong.
Oh, I love it.
All right. The show, by the way, live shows everywhere coming up this Saturday, April 27th, Saban Theater here
April
in 22nd. Los Angeles. Or, sorry, what I say?
Yeah, yeah.
April 22nd, that is Saturday. And then Cobbs. We love Cobbs in San Francisco. That'll be May 12th through the 13th. Great club. Cobbs is great because it's big and intimate. It's a comedy club that holds like 500 people, but it's intimate.
I love it.
And Caroline's, New York, another good, like, big and intimate place. That'll be June 15th through the 17th. In the dates, you just go to mazjobrani.com, and you can find out all the live dates. And Superior Donuts, of course, Mondays, 9 o'clock, CBS. And there's a live special that's coming out on Amazon.
On Netflix.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at something else.
That's all right.
The book, I'm Not a Terrorist, but I played one on TV, is available on Amazon. You can click through our website if you'd like to bookmark us for that. And the Netflix special from the Kennedy Center is coming out. When is that coming out? Sorry.
That'll come out this summer. We just shot it this past weekend in D.C., and it was really cool. Kennedy Center. I mean, it was exciting. And I do now. I mean, it's funny because it took me like over a year to come up with about an hour of material about my life, about my kids, all that stuff. And ever since Trump has been in the race, like a half an hour of material just came out of nowhere. So like I had like an hour and a half. I had to stop doing material about him.
It's really it's narcissistic for all the comedians to rail against Trump. This guy's their livelihood. I mean, it's so easy and it's ubiquitous. It's like every day there's a new tweet, a new story, a new whatever. And you just wouldn't. I don't know. Hillary Clinton, she'd be the first female. It'd be like Obama in the sense that you really can't. There's not a lot to hang your hat on. And also, who wants to be called a sexist or racist or whatever if you're making jokes about the female or the brother or whatever it is? This is perfect for comedy.
But also, Trump just keeps putting stuff. Like, it's not like he's quiet and he just keeps putting. So there's things that I try to ignore, and I'm like, he's in my face, just putting it in my face.
He's a perennial.
I did stand up on the Colbert Show the Friday before the elections, and I had like this set about the elections and about Trump, and it was like a 5-minute set, and I was doing it, and I'm going, well, I guess I'll just retire this on Tuesday once he loses. And the guy won. And I'm like, oh, my God. And
then it just started. How happy are
you? I was shocked. I was devastated. It was crazy because a lot of things became personal. Like the whole travel ban thing became personal. As an Iranian-American, I really got upset about that. I actually went down to LAX.
Oh, open with that at Berkeley, by the way.
Yeah, I should.
Get into the personal part.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Good.
No, I'm talking. I went down to LAX and I protested. Like I was there and it was amazing because I debated. I was like, should I go? Should I not go? And I thought, I'm going to go. And I went down. I actually felt good. So on the one hand, he's great for comedy. On the other hand, sometimes I go, I'm just going to ignore him, ignore. And then suddenly he says something. I'm like, he's ruining the environment. And it just pisses me off again.
Yeah, I think you have to treat him. I think it'd be like when you're living at your parents' house and it's 1,200 square feet. It's horrible. And you have to live with these god-awful people. And then later on, you get out of the house. You get your own place. And then you get to make fun of them, even though they're still your parents, but you don't, it's not like, oh God, every day, where they're telling you when curfew is and they're telling you can't buy that cereal.
Yeah.
You live in the garage.
You live in the garage like I did. Now it's kind of, they'll always be your parents, like he'll be the president, but you get to move out and make fun of him. That's what I'm saying.
I love it. It's very, you're very therapeutic in that. You got to distance yourself. And then, cause I do, I take a little break. And then I'll stop like looking at his tweet stuff, you know, when he tweets. But then you'll be watching news and they'll say he just tweeted that and like did he re-? And you go, oh my, this bastard, and you get back in there. I can't believe he tweeted this. Whatever. It's always every week, but like he was the whole thing of him cutting the budget of the EPA by like $2 billion or $3 billion, and then making a big show of the fact that he's donating $75,000 of his salary to the parks. You know, and I'm like, really, dude, you're gonna cut it by $2 billion and you give him $75? Like,
hey, give him credit. That's a sweet sleight of hand trick.
It is a sleight of hand trick. You're right.
He doesn't possess, although a fair amount of celebrities are this way. They don't possess a sort of, they have a mirror they use to fix their hair, but they don't really have a mirror they look at to really see themselves and how they would come across, or the irony of it.
That's good.
That deserves a big snort. All right, let's do a little news with Ma, shall we?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, speaking of the White House, the U.S. Secret Service said it would end public access to a sidewalk along the south fence of the White House beginning Wednesday night. The sidewalk has been closed from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. since 2015, but it will now be off limits around the clock. The closure will, quote, lessen the possibility of individuals illegally accessing the White House grounds. Now, remember, in March, a man scaled the fence on the east side at night and was on the property's grounds for 16 minutes before before anybody caught him. They don't want to keep having to do that. Blocking use of the South Fence sidewalk will not obstruct the public's ability to view or photograph the White House, but no additional physical barriers will be installed. But you are no longer allowed to walk on that sidewalk.
It is insane. It's kind of insane whether it's, you know, shooting Bobby Kennedy or making your way onto the lawn or running out into the middle of a Wimbledon match, showing your ass, or stabbing Steffi Graf, or whatever it is.
Monica Seles.
Oh, it was Monica Seles.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a German guy. Oh, the guy who stabbed her was German.
Okay.
And a big Steffi Graf fan.
Ah, that's right.
And
he wanted to advance her
trying
career.
To get Monica.
That's right.
I wish I had fans that were that ambitious.
No, you don't.
What happened to Dane Cook? He's dead. I don't know. Some asshole jumped up on stage.
Did you hear about Joe Rogan?
I just moved up a notch.
Hilarious.
Didn't I? All right. Yeah, he'll be missed, but there's a new sheriff in town when it comes to podcasting. But... yeah, I think, Gary, you can now figure that one out, but see if it was. But
Chris Hardwick had a bottle of Mangria broken over his head.
But whatever happens, it seems to be that if human beings would like to kill a candidate, shoot a president, go around the 50-yard line naked in the Super Bowl, or sort of stab a tennis player, we're really nothing we can do but do something after they do it, no matter how much security. It's the White House.
It's crazy.
And folks can just hop over the fence and not be seen for 15 minutes.
Well, and what about that mailman that landed the drone on the lawn? Remember that little plane that he was in?
Yeah.
Was that a year or two ago?
Yeah, like that was a little while ago, like an ultralight.
Right, yes.
You'd want to believe that they would, like, this is the White House. There should be a human being, like, there should be shoulder to shoulder human beings around the White House, like Secret Service all the way around, take an 8-hour shift just staring out. That's what you would want to believe. But yet, this guy, first of all, this guy had the balls to go for the climbing over. I mean, can you imagine with your buddies, like, bro, I dare you to climb over the,
hold
the
my
fence.
Bear.
I mean, that takes a lot of balls. I don't care what time of night it is.
But also,
work that into your Berkeley speech.
Yeah, if she stabbed in Germany, I think that was part of what I remember. But I think it was a Steffi Graf fan, or the guy who stabbed her was a fan of another tennis player. Want to take her out of circulation. I just feel like if your car was at an impound lot, like it got towed and it was in Van Nuys in an impound lot, and you decided to have a few tall boys and jump over the fence and get your car back cowboy style, they would be on you faster than the Secret Service is on you if you go over the fence into the White House.
They have like killer dogs at all these car lots that will attack you.
But every movie I've ever seen.
Every movie.
Has a killer dog.
But let me tell you something else about this president. That is crazy with what you were just saying. When he did that speech down in Florida where he had that guy and he looks out and he goes, this guy, I saw him on the news earlier. Let him up. And then he goes
Secret
over.
Secret Service went nuts.
Secret Service going nuts. And he goes over and then Secret Service wouldn't let him in. And he goes, no, let him up. And then the guy climbed over and now the guy's on stage and he goes, say something. And I'm watching. I'm going, this guy is nuts, meaning Trump is nuts, to let some random dude, because all you got to do now to get next to him is show up with a Trump shirt, be like, I love this guy, and then get up there and, like you said, pull a Monica Seles, you know, Seles, whatever her name was.
Seles. I don't know. If you're Steffi Graf, do you send that guy like a fruit basket in prison and go like, hey, I don't agree with the modality, but the thought was definitely there.
Good move.
Stabbing the
someone who was ranked higher than me.
Thanks for being a supporter.
That's like the Nancy Kerrigan thing, right? It was very similar.
It was a hit.
Yeah, it was a hit.
Yeah, but it was ordered by...
That was an actual competitor, Tonya Harding.
Harding, yeah. She put the hit up, which kind of made sense. I don't think you've ever been able to link this back to Steffi, although we don't
can
know.
Imagine?
The case is not cold, as far as I'm concerned.
No statute of limitations here.
She kept some distance. She had Andre Agassi hire the guy.
The perpetrator was determined to be mentally incapacitated and got no jail time.
That's exactly who you want to hire for Steffi Graf.
What did they? First off,
it's the Shooter McGavin situation.
You know, when a dog is mentally incapacitated and bites everyone who comes near him, they just put him down. Yeah. They don't set him free. Like, hey, he can't go to the kennel. He's mentally incapacitated. I could make a better argument for putting this guy in jail, which is he's mentally incapacitated. Mm-hmm. He could do this.
Has the ability
anytime.
To wield a knife.
Yeah.
He got 2 years probation and psychological treatment, but
that'll show him.
She vowed to never play tennis in Germany again for that exact reason.
Where was Monica Seles from?
I'd like to pitch it to her.
Isn't
come
French?
On. You got to Serbian, Yugoslavia.
She's former Yugoslavia, yeah.
Eastern Bloc.
Oh wow, God, wow. That's got to be a bummer. Like you've trained, you're ready to go, and some dude jumps out of the stands with a knife. I mean, if he came with a racket, at least you'd be like, it's a tennis match. I could kind of, I should have expected that knife.
She, it's a bizarre story that is not made more of because it's never really happened, and I hope it never happens again. If this happened in Florida, the guy'd still be in prison, right?
The truly bizarre part to me was when she was on Dancing with the Stars and they never alluded to it. Like, she's a famous tennis player. No, she's very famous for being the only tennis player to be stabbed on the court. She was one of many famous. I think I did it the year she did it. I don't think that's the only year I watched, so it must have been, because they never mentioned the fact that she was stabbed.
Well, and to bring it back around, I think Nancy Kerrigan's on this season, and they don't talk about that at all.
Oh, they got to do a whole Kahlooly thing.
No, they said, like, what's
a themed dance?
Not what's your proudest moment, but what's the most significant moment of your life? And she said, you know, of course, my kids or the birth of my whatever. It never came up.
I now remember a conversation I had with her, but
They should totally put that as like a dance. Like, she's dancing and someone comes out with a
with
thing,
a lead pipe,
and
right.
she kicks Wild up and right. misses, and then they keep dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to get a 10 on
that's
that.
That's in good taste.
I completely agree.
Aaron Eckhart was the fat one.
Aaron
Eckhart's the famous
Aaron
actor.
Is
the guy with the pipe.
I thought that was Jeff Galooly.
Galooly hired him.
Galooly was the guy with the pipe. Oh, okay.
Brian, have you ever been outside?
You know that answer's
not. I did talk to Monica Seles for a while about podcasting.
Huh.
And I remember it was this insane conversation. She struck me as one of there's a few people. there's people you meet in your life where you go like, Daryl Hammond is one of the saddest characters you'll ever meet. And right. I don't mean bad. I just mean he's like a morose. You feel bad for him. Like,
you just go,
oh, come on, buddy. It's not that. You're blessed. Come on. You
know? Lot box.
He's just a very – you know, look, there are people that are animated and excited and in a good mood and whatever. And there's a spectrum, you know, and it comes in performers as well. Now, when they're performing, and then they're not, and you get who they are. Monica Seles was one of the most, I don't want to say dour, but like sort of a little morose, very soft-spoken, and seemed genuinely not sort of pleased with where she was that day or the day before. And
not in an arrogant way, in sort of a sad.
No, it was more like looking over her shoulder, really frightened.
It was like when you say to somebody... yeah, like I'm like, hey,
jittery.
I want you to meet my friend Helmut. He just got a gig at the Benihana. Come on down, Helmut.
Yeah. You want some chopped salad? No chopped salad.
Helmut.
So it's like those people when you go like if you say to my mom, who's one of those people, if you say, how are you doing today? She'll go, I'm okay.
Oh, God.
I'm okay. You know, the people can't even muster a good.
Yeah.
They just go, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Like they can't, you know, you just like, I don't care if I was laying on my deathbed. So I'm saying, how you doing?
And then you take the bait and go, well, what's going on? No, not with them,
because they want you to do that moving on. But they'll always go, I'm doing okay.
Oh, God.
And that's the kind of person she was, except for our conversation was about her launching her own podcast.
Oh.
And I was, but it's weird when you're talking to the guy who's 5'6" and he wants to know about making it in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. And then he's talking about, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, I live in LA, so it'd be great if I go to the Clippers or Lakers, but like Timberwolves are a better organization. Yeah. And you're like, you're talking the whole time going, I'd go as far as the Phoenix Suns.
I don't think this is going to work.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this is going to be, because she's the most dour, sort of quiet person in the world. And she's going, yeah, they want me to do a cooking themed one, but I just want to talk about everything. But it's like, but there's nothing, there.
You should be like, you can talk about depression. It's a good idea for you.
Who's depressed?
You should have chimed in. And it just came back to me when we had this. It was like one of those things where it's like, oh, you got to do a photo shoot. Everyone here at noon and nothing's happening until 2:00. And you're just sitting there and you just start talking. It was that. All right. Let me tell you about Smart Mouth. Ah, the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent bad breath from coming back for 12 full hours. You separate. There's two separate liquids. You combine them. They activate zinc ions that stop bacteria from producing sulfur gas for 12 hours. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as nasty breath does. So let's not do that. Look, next time you're out and you're drinking, you're smoking, you're getting high, use a smart mouth before you're heading home with your little honey bunny. Or, you know, hey, we're not uptight here. Dude, chick, dude, whatever. You meet them, you bring them home. You want that fresh breath. I think that's the one thing. You know, we talk about things that separate guys and women all the time. The one thing, bad breath, universal.
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker all the way around. So let's not do that. Or give it a shot the night before and don't have the morning breath. It lasts for 12 full hours. SmartMouth.com is where you go to get some. Or you can get it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you like. Smart mouth, man. All right, Gina Grant, let's do one more.
All right. Well, here's one for you. Bruce Springsteen has once again teamed up with Pittsburgh-based singer-songwriter Joe Grushecki. Wonder if Damashek knows who that is. Not totally sure. For a new song called That's What Makes Us Great. Okay. We'll just play. It's about President Trump and his immigration policies. Joe says he sent the song to Springsteen, who then gave it the Bruce treatment. Now, the song is available for download at joegrushecki.ca. It features Bruce Springsteen. I was just going to roll a little and let you call the out.
Oh, this is the music Miles comes out to for his dress.
Yeah, I like it. Definitely.
Sounds like wearing the beginning of Friends. I'm in already. Where's the clapping done?
They come from everywhere.
That's Joe.
How long it to be free? They come to join us here.
When does he do the boot in the ass
line? To shining sea.
I like that one.
And they all have a dream. As people always will.
Wow.
To be safe and warm in that shining city on the hill. Someone slammed the door and still opening the gate. While it's dirty, staying around. Right before it gets too late, it's up to me and you. Love can't conquer hate.
Is that the hook?
This song?
Yeah, you're in it.
That's what makes us great. Don't tell me a lie.
There he is.
And sell it as a fact. I've been down that road before, and I ain't going back.
All right. Well, Lynette will buy it.
Are you sure?
It feels like it's trying a little on the nose.
You know what's interesting when you
hear, I like where their head's at. It's a little on the nose.
When you hear the first guy sing, you're like, okay, it's some guy who's trying to make it. But then when you hear Springsteen sing, it's subconsciously you go, oh, this is a real song. You know what I'm saying? It kind of makes it a real song.
It gives
suddenly.
A little street cred.
It gives a little street.
Yeah,
and it's subconsciously,
it's like sponsorship on a race car.
Yeah.
If you ever see a race car and it's just plain white, you go, oh, that guy's not doing very good.
Right. Yeah.
And then you go, you put Tide across it, and you go, that guy's doing great.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's a weird thing. You hear the boss, it's like sponsorship on the car.
I know it's been said thousands of times by many other publicists.
Yes. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
You guys should get the boss on that song.
That'd be amazing.
We got to get him back, yeah. We're on ever. Geico, man. You want to save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? I'll tell you what to do. You go to Geico. That's right, geico.com. So you got a to-do list. You got things you need to do. How about this one? You don't have to leave the house for this one. You just hop on your computer. Go to geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes, and you could be saving up to 15% or even more on your car insurance. It is that simple. Take the extra money, put it in your pocket, download that Bruce Springsteen song, whatever, man. It is Geico, geico.com. 15 minutes, save 15% or more at geico.com. All right, you can go to amcroll.com if you want to know anything about live shows that we're doing. You can also check out the 24-Hour War. It's free on Amazon Prime. And give it a nice rating, and I'll read the review. Say hi to Lynette over at Corolla Drinks. She's doing lights out work over there. The new T-shirt, I agree with me. It's limited. Mugs, hats, whatever. You can go to amcroll.com. And Me and Dennis Prager, you can check out at Northridge, No Safe Spaces. Number three on Billboard, number one on comedy in iTunes comedy.
Number one.
Thank you. Maz Jobrani dates all over the place. Just go to MazJobrani.com, and then we'll look for the special coming out on Netflix. And we'll also watch Superior Donuts Monday nights, 9 o'clock on CBS, man. Thank you very much. Until next time, Zanna for Maz and Gene Unbald saying, Owen Sheck saying, mahalo.
A braying sports ass?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee. For a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation, click on the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings 5 to 8 a.m. at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November, Mangria events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.